Today, let's open up our Bibles to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 17. And we're going to talk to you on the subject of always enough. Have you ever been places where there just wasn't enough? I'm sure that any public office that anybody's ever held, that somebody says, is that all? No, but God's always enough. And here we have in the time of King Ahab, one of the very wicked king of Israel here, but God did things, and God can do things despite of things that are not desirable. But let's notice in the 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 8, let's go. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Arise, go down to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. So he arose, this would be Elijah, he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, indeed, a widow was there gathering sticks, and he called her and said, Please bring me a little water in a cup, that I may drink. And as she was going, he called to her and said, Please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. So she said, As the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little of oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said to her, Do not fear, go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake first, and bring it to me, and afterward make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, The bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the Lord sends rain on the earth. So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word today. Thank you, Lord, that you're always enough, you always have enough, and you never run out. I pray, God, your Holy Spirit would just touch our hearts, encourage us, strengthen us today. May we receive, God, faith from this passage, O God, knowing that we can trust you regardless of what life may bring. God, we pray for your goodness, your love, your anointing, God, upon the word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Always enough. Let me start out with saying this. I learned the hard way, and God taught me a lesson one day, a number of years, many years ago now, and we were having some people at our church to hold a service, and they were similar to Teen Challenge called Victory Outreach, and we were there. And so after the meeting was over with, we had the people in the place, and some of our people and some of town people had prepared food for us to eat. And so we went in, and well, you know, they believed that the pastor, or pardon the expression, the big shots ought to go first. And so they put us in line, and we ate and got gathered our food together. And when the meeting was over with, or at least when the supper was over with, I noticed there were just a few people in that group that didn't get enough to eat. And here they filled my plate up, and I felt bad. And so I've seen it happen many times. I've determined in my mind I was never going to be the fat preacher that went first. There'll be something left. God taught me a lesson through that. And so if you wait and wonder why I wait around at church dinners to the last, that's God taught me the lesson. I want plenty to be left for everybody else first, you know, put God first. Amen. And so that happened the next day. God convicted my heart. I went down to the store and bought two turkeys, dead ones. And took them up to that place. It was in 40 miles away in San Angelo, and they were there, and I took them up. I said, here, I believe God put it on my heart to give this to you so you can feed your family and feed all the people that are in this Victory Outreach program. And so that's what I did. But, you know, our God always has enough. He never runs short of anything. And things really look short in this day that we're in this text that we're reading out of today, because it was a time of famine in the land of Israel. And it was in the days of a wicked king, King Ahab. He was an evil, ungodly king. If that wasn't enough, he married Jezebel. And she was a promoter of Baal worship and idolatry. And so they did not have good leadership. And because of idolatry and Judah's unfaithfulness, there was famine in the land, a drought on the earth. As a matter of fact, Elijah had gone to King Ahab and said to him, because of your idolatry, it's not going to rain again on the earth till I say it can. Surely he heard from God. And I'm sure that Ahab thought, oh yeah, there's another person trying to be a prophet and saying something. But, you know, it went on and on, and for 3.5 years it didn't rain a drop, according to the word of the man of God. And so God sent a drought on the earth and a rain. It didn't rain for 3.5 years. And this could never happen to Israel if they were faithful to God, to the one true God. God had said, you know, I'll send rain on your crops. I'll cause you to have victory over your enemies. You won't have any problems having children and multiplying. And I'll be with you, and I'll provide for you and bless all that you do. But if they turned away from God and broke the first two commandments, actually the first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me, and thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. They broke both of those and were strongly getting away from the God that had brought them out of Egypt into the promised land. And so the result, God would have to bring judgment instead of blessing. And so breaking of the commandments, disobedience, produced a curse instead of blessing. And let's just bring it down to earth, down to us. It was earth then, but now. When people drift from God, God graciously allows things to happen in their lives to wake them up spiritually so they will get back and get prayed up and get right with God, revived and back into fellowship with Him. It's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so God may allow things to happen in people's lives to wake them up spiritually. And yet here God provides for Elijah through the most unlikely sources we can think of. If we read just a few in the passage before that, God had told Elijah, He said, I want you to get away. I want you to go down to this little brook where there's water. One of the few places there was water left. And God commanded the ravens to feed him morning and evening until the brook, water in the brook, dried up. Now, this is a story before the one I read, okay? And so we know that, and God used unusual things. God used a raven to bring stuff to food morning and evening to Elijah. Now, a raven was an unclean bird. Man, so, you know, in my lifetime, I've seen God use a few unclean birds. I won't go into detail, but God used this unusual thing to feed Elijah. And when the brook dried up, God says, I want you to go somewhere else. I want you to go to Zarephath. I've commanded a widow woman there to provide for you. And I'm thinking, Elijah says, a widow woman that doesn't have anything, that has no husband to provide for me during a great, great drought? Are you sure, Lord, that you're talking to me? He was. So he went to Zarephath, and that was not an Israelite town, nor was the woman a Jew. But God said, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. And so God showed Elijah here, I'm always enough wherever you're at. I've always got enough. I can use any source I want to, and I'm not limited to anything I can do. But there would still be a faithful man who would obey God, and through miracles, God made provision for Elijah. And for God's people, there will always be enough. For our God that we serve never runs out. He never runs low. He didn't have any shortages. Amen. He's not worried if gas prices go up, although we are. He's not. He's not worried that there's vessels sitting outside California that are loaded with goods that all the people in our country need. But God can provide. groceries, gas maybe go up, worry may be on the rise, but God isn't worried. And God's not worried about how He's going to provide for you, because He's always got enough. And this is proved by God's example to Israel as they wandered 40 years in the wilderness, many times not obeying God the way they should, but God provided for them. There was always manna on the ground every morning for 40 years, quail in the evening. And they were not together more than they could eat. And that'll preach, wouldn't it? They were not together more than they could eat, but just enough for that day. And when God first started doing this, some people went out and they gathered more than they needed, and it bred worms overnight and stank, the Bible says. Okay? So they learned to just get what you need. And for 40 years, God never failed to provide. Every morning they would awake, there was manna on the ground, there was enough to eat, there was always enough water from the rock, water for several million people to drink, and their animals, and their calves, and their cows, and their donkeys, and mules, and whatever else they had. Man, and it would never cease to be enough. And so God made a way in the wilderness. New Testament, Paul says that rock was Christ, and many believe that that was a rock that followed them everywhere they went in the wilderness, even as Christ is with us as we walk with Him through this wilderness of sin that we live in. And the source of provision was the Creator was with them. And there's a name given to God. God has never, He's only one God. He's got several titles and names that, there's like 13 Jehovah names in the Bible that testify to the character of God. And one of those is Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord will see and the Lord will provide. And God gave this to Abraham when He called him to offer up Isaac his son. And God provided another animal to offer in the place of his son. And we know the fulfillment of that. God did not call somebody else, but God gave up His own son for us and to atone for our sins. But the Creator was with them. And Elijah was reaching out to the Creator, and he was obedient. And wherever God said go, that's where he went. And Zarephath was not an Israelite town. It was a place where idolatry abounded, and it was a place where Baal worship was promoted powerfully. Nothing gracious about it. And so he went there in obedience to God, and God gave him a source of provision. Of all things, God didn't take him to vineyards, and God didn't take him to people that had a good garden and lots of tomatoes and onions and all that, you know. But He took him there, and God has always provided for His people. In the New Testament, Jesus fed 5,000 with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And where this was God, this is Jehovah God, and this was Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus fed them, and the bread and the fish just multiplied till He was able to satisfy the need of 5,000 people, including women and children. Man, and so I want to tell you something, believer. God is always enough. You know, in our own culture, we always want more than enough. Society demands overabundance. You know, they want more. And we always want more. And so we say, you know, God, I thank You for blessing me, but, you know, if it was a little bit more, I could enjoy this a little bit longer. And people don't want to just win the lottery. They want it to last for a while. It usually doesn't. And so I don't ever play it. Matter of fact, when I was in the other church, I got a lottery ticket in the offering one time. I never did see if it was any good or not. Anyway. But you see, God is a God of always enough. I remember years ago that there was a football player back when Christian Tom Landry was coach of the Dallas Cowboys. He was a Christian. That's what they need today. But there's a little guy that was on his team named Robert Newhouse. You may not remember him. Kind of a small guy, short guy. He had enormous legs. And whenever the Dallas Cowboys needed 1 or 2 yards in rushing to get a first down, Tom Landry would send Robert Newhouse in. And even though he was short and wasn't as big as some of the behemoths on the other side, he could give it to him. He could always make 1 or 2 yards and get a first down. He could always make enough. And I just use that illustration to symbolize, to say this: regardless of how difficult of a situation may look, God always has enough. Always enough. He's got more than enough, yes, but he many times provides us with enough so that we can continue on and walk with him and live for him. And when God has not provided, let me ask you this, when has God not provided for you when you were following him faithfully? I want to tell you, he's never failed. He's not going to start failing. Amen. He doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The God who of provision then is the God of provision now. And I know our economy, things don't look good, and our leadership looks awful, but I want to tell you something. God is going to be with his people. He's going to be with his children. Amen. He's going to cause you to wake up in the morning and know what to do. He's not going to leave you stranded somewhere else out by yourself. The Bible says God is with us. He's with us even to the end of the age. Praise the Lord. So you can count on him. Hallelujah. He always has enough. And always enough from an unlikely source. How many times has God provided for you from an unlikely source? Here God would use a desperate widow, not a Jew, but an open heart that God could reveal himself to. And so here this widow is. She's gathering sticks to make a fire, I assume, and to make a meal for her son and herself. And after that, there was no promise of anything, and they were going to die. She didn't live in a very good area, Zarephath, Phoenician city, 7 miles south of Sidon, stronghold of Baal. And Baal was a false god that was worshipped by many people. And the Lord sustained Elijah, first by a raven, unclean bird, then by this widow, with a dramatic test of faith at the outset of Elijah's ministry. Elijah says, okay, God, I'll do what you say. I don't have much faith in it, but I'll do that. Many widows were exceptionally poor, as they had few options in agrarian culture. And so this one was in a desperate plight when she encountered the prophet's God, the only one true God there was. And that day there was no social security check. They could, in Israel, they could go along behind the reapers in the harvest and pick up what was left in the corners of the field. This was the law in Israel. And so it was there for them to head. But they couldn't be lazy. They had to get up and go get it. But now there was no rain. There was no harvest. There was no crops. There was a widow, and her son would be at the mercy of foreign pagan people to give her enough to survive. And there wasn't no fruit of the Spirit called kindness or goodness. It was in a pagan country. They knew nothing of God. It was in a society that was ruled by godless ideas, godless goals, and ungodly leaders. Much as the case as it is today. And so she was at the mercy of just people being kind enough to give her something to survive. But you see, God has promised to bless his people as they faithfully trust him. You know, Psalms chapter 1, it says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. He's not looking to carnal things to satisfy his need. But in his law does he meditate day and night. He should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His loose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. So God makes great promises to the person that's faithful to God. That does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, does not look to humanity or sinful mankind to meet all of his needs, but he realizes that God is always enough. Amen. And so when the spiritual weather is dry, God is still enough. He's always been enough. He will always be enough. Praise God. And you're still blessed when you're living for God. Psalms, second part, Psalms 1, the ungodly are not so, but like the chaff which the wind driveth away, therefore the ungodliness shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So God promises greatly to those who fear God and walk with Him. And the Bible also gives us great hope. You know, Philippians 4:19, Paul wrote this from prison. He says, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You say, well, you know, prison wasn't bad. They didn't have anything to do. Well, let me say, prison was not pleasant then. There was no TV to watch. There was no classes to help them make them better. They just went, and whatever food they had to eat is because family or friends nearby brought it to them. Okay? So Paul, from prison, he writes some of the most encouraging words that you could ever find. Do you think Paul had a need in a Roman jail? Yes, he did. But he wrote from there, and he told us today and all the people then, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He was going to supply. He was saying, basically, he was saying to this people, the God that we serve is always enough. And plus, from that same prison, he wrote, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Meaning, I can do this prison time, I can do this prison life, I can do whatever God brings my way because God is in me. He strengthens me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And Paul could endure prison life because God, the Holy Spirit, was enough. And my friend, you can endure failure, you can endure fear, you can endure godless ideas in society because our God is enough. Praise the Lord. And my friend, if you're depending on society or people to hold you up, then you need to get right with God because they will fail you. But God has not ever and will never fail you ever, ever again. Amen. Or never the first time. Praise the Lord. He's always enough. And so we see the prophet here making what a seemingly a selfish request. He said, I want some water, and there was no water. It was drought. And she goes to get him a little drink of water. He said, by the way, while you're at it, would you bring me a morsel of bread? I need something to eat, too. Isn't that just like a preacher to show up at mealtime? Try not to, anyway. Bring me a morsel of bread. And she turned around, she began to talk to him, and he said, don't you see it's a drought here? It hadn't rained in a long time. There's not anything growing out there, if you hadn't noticed. But she said, as the Lord lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And can't you see, prophet, here I'm going to make one last meal for me and my son, and then we're going to die of starvation because there's no rain and nothing to eat and no way, no provision. And we see here that the prophet answers her, and, you know, this is, you know, when somebody tells you something God told me to tell you, you want to make sure God's the one that told them to tell you. For most of the time, God can speak to you and me as well as He can speak to somebody else. But God does use people. And so she said, I don't have much. I have enough to make a little bit for me and my son so we can eat it and die. And Elijah said to her, do not fear, but go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first. How selfish can that sound? And bring it to me, and afterward make some for yourself and your son. She said, I just told you I only have enough to make one. Anyway. But he said, if you'll just obey me, God's going to provide. And then he gives the word of assurance, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. You see, God is always there. God never runs out. When you run out, He doesn't run out. He says, verse 13, do not fear. There will be enough. This took faith, but obedience would reveal the true God would never run out. There would always be enough. It may not rain, amen, but with God, you will never run out. I want to tell you something, friend. When you run out of patience, God will provide you patience. Easy to run out of that. When you run out of endurance, you will serve the God, the Jesus that endured the cross. Amen. When you run out of hope, I want to tell you we're looking for this blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. When you run out of anything, God is more than enough. When you run out of faith that anything can happen to you, good can happen to you, God don't run out. He can provide faith, encouragement in your heart, certainty in your heart that this is going to happen, that God's going to provide. He's going to make it. I pastored a lady one time, pastored more than one, but I pastored a lady one time that she was just said, I'm quit. I'm not going to church anymore. What had happened to her? And she had searched through her husband's. He worked for the phone company, and he came to church with her some. Usually one of those that just came along, you know, to settle the wife's anxiety. He didn't really care anything about God or the church. He just came every now and then, usually went and had a meal afterwards. But she said, I just give up. I'm quitting God, serving God if God does me like that. I said, what did God do to you? She said, well, I was looking in my husband's truck, and I found a pornographic magazine under his front seat. And she said, I told him I'm not young and pretty anymore, and I know all that, but I said, you're going to quit God over this? And she said, yeah, I'm through. If you got to treat me like that, I'm not going to serve him. I said, well, God didn't do that. And so I prayed, and I prayed for her, and I said, you keep on living for God. God didn't do that to you. God will take care of your husband. God can deliver him from that. You know, and in the meantime, after a while, you know, God did deliver him from that. And he became a providing husband and a good husband. He came to church not just out of obligation, but he came because he got right with God. And you know, God never runs out. And I don't know what happens to people, but they moved off to Washington State. I mean, we've got a brother here. You're from Washington State back there. Visitor here today. God bless you. This is nothing against Washington State. But he went up there, and they went up there as a family. They retired and moved up there, and they couldn't find a church. And I said, you can't find a church. There's a church everywhere. But anyway. But you know, I had some financial needs too, but they continued to send me their tithe through the mail. I said, now, you need to pay your tithes where you're going to church and where you're getting your soul fed. And after a while they did, but God used that because God always has enough. Amen. And I don't believe in spreading your tithes around. I believe you ought to pay your tithes where you're getting your soul fed at the church. Amen. Okay, I won't preach on tithes like every preacher does. So, but God's promise was enough. And when she returned after taking a meal to Elijah first, there was enough in there to make a meal for her and her son. So they could supposedly eat that last meal and then die of starvation. But you know, the next day she went back in there, and there's still a little bit of meal and still oil in the jar, just enough to supply the need that day. And you know, as long as there was a famine in the land when she had come to trust the one true God, as long as there was a famine in that land, there was always enough oil in the jar, enough meal in the barrel to make one more. There was always enough. My friend, God provides. God is always enough. Regardless how your situation may look today, God is still enough. If you put your trust in Him, if you walk with Him, and if you're living in the sinful side and you're pursuing sin, don't expect His blessing. It won't be there. But if you're in pursuit of the things of God, God will bless you. God will keep you. God will care for you. God will provide for you, because God always is enough and has enough. Amen. When God gave manna for Israel, they were supposed to gather enough to feed each family that day, but there was always enough every morning. And God always gives enough for the faith for the present, and He gives enough hope for the future. Praise God. The future may not look good for planet Earth. It's never really looked really good, but I want to tell you, we have a great hope in what God is going to do and has done. The fact that we have hope at all is because Jesus died and rose again from the dead, has conquered death, hell, and the grave, and promises to give eternal life to whosoever will come to faith in Him. And God always gives enough faith for the present, enough hope, enough love, enough peace that everything is going to be okay, even though things may not look okay. I want to tell you, God isn't worried about anything. He never sleeps, but if he did, he wouldn't lose any sleep over what's going on today. And God always provides enough peace that everything is going to be okay. And we must trust that our God is enough. His work on the cross was enough to deliver the sinner and make the vilest sinner clean. His blood was enough to cleanse each stain of every sin, regardless of what depths of sin a person has gone to. God is able. That blood is still working, washing, cleansing today. Praise God. And so the cross is enough. And the blood on that cross is enough to deliver you from sin, from people from sin. You think of the worst filthy sinner you can think of in the world. God's, the blood of Jesus is still powerful enough to set the captives free. Amen. Andre Crouch put it in his song, for the blood reaches to the highest mountain. It flows to the lowest valley. It will never lose its power. Hallelujah. So it's enough. Christ's work on the cross is enough. His resurrection is enough that one word from his powerful voice could raise the dead. His resurrection is enough to give us eternal life. His promised return is always enough. When money runs low, God's money doesn't run low. I'm not encouraging you to listen to a prosperity preacher, but I am telling you that God does supply your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And so, he's able to meet a need. So whatever you're facing today, just remember, God is always enough. Praise the Lord.